Hello, my name is Johor Ile. I'm a writer. My short story, Fisherman's Stew, was shortlisted for the Kane Prize 2020.
Welcome to our limited series highlighting the 2020 shortlist of the AKO Kane Prize, an annual literature prize awarded to the writer of an African short story published in English. The prize was launched in 2000 to encourage and highlight the richness and diversity of African writing by bringing it to a wider audience internationally. The focus on the short story reflects the contemporary development of the African storytelling tradition.
My ideal reader is from basically anyone who can read. The best book, generally, I don't use the best, or I don't really have... I don't categorize books in that way, or my experience in that way. There are loads of books that I love equally when I read. But I really enjoyed Three Women by Lisa Tadio. It's just beautiful nonfiction story. And I was just going to say that I rarely use best for, you know, reading or whatever books I've read. But that's a book I really enjoyed. It's nonfiction. I don't know, it's hard. It's like fiction to me, but it's just really well written. The prose is beautiful. Three Women by Lisa Tadio. That's the book for the year. Love in the Time of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Just because it's a fun title, Love in the Time of Cholera. You know, there's love and there's, well, some difficulty there. So why not? and mainly because of Femina Daza, that's probably the best character in all of literature. I might change my mind later, but for now, Love in the Time of Cholera. Well, I think Joe helps us expand our sense of what is possible, and in every way, you know, and I think politics is a part of that. You know, literature, reading for me, is how we develop inwardness, how we develop empathy, how we learn. So it's powerful in shaping our politics, you know, because it's what determines our inner life. The first person I told when I got the email that the shortlisted for the Kane Prize, my dear friend, Sojin Yakubo, and I sent him a text saying, we shortlisted for the Kane Prize because he was the first person to read Fisherman's Stew when it was in draft. He reads everything I write, and I just thought that should be the first person to know. You know, and so yes, I sent him a text and he said, really? I'm like, what do you mean, really? I can't leave without music, but I mean, which song to choose? So can I ask if I can have just all my playlists, all of them? Answering this question, I thought about this podcast. He said, what's that one where you're cast away on an island and you're asked to pick a song. So I felt I was doing that. And I said, oh, I want all my playlists, all my Spotify playlists, all the playlists, all my mixtapes that I've ever done. I want them with me. You know, if I'm not going to have any other thing in the world, I want my music with me. The best writing advice I've ever received was, Johor, keep writing. And I'll tell you this, at a time, I didn't know it was the best writing advice, but I thought I wanted more. But I believe the person who said that, just like, keep writing. And that's just an advice I give to people, you know, like, keep writing. You know, something will come out of it when you keep at it. She shifted on the bed and made room, and Benji met her, loose, sprawled, arched, with parted lips, and then pressed his body against hers. She caught the whiff of dry wood, sweat, and hand soap grease. His calloused hands slid round her neck, then cupped her face. His lips shook as his eyes hovered over hers. She took his lower lip into her mouth, calmed it. He was caressing her face with one hand, and with the other, he undid the wrapper tied around her waist and flung it into the dark, where a clatter followed the tumbling items on the nightstand, then lowered his head over her belly and navel, making his way down the soft trail of hair. He stayed there until she retrieved herself at the sharp moon, turning sideways like a bitch shrugging off her young. She turned and, pressing his shoulders until he was on his back, descended on him. With his balls secure in her mouth, she held Benji until she heard him plead, his voice drifting out the window. She relented and then raised herself until they were facing each other, breathing the same air. He turned sharply as she slid underneath beneath him. With her arm hooked over his neck, she drew her knees up and held her thighs open like a funnel. In countless heated strokes that ran along the channels of her body, he came in a row. Afterwards, in the deep dark, they lay silent.